Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey, what's up? It's Jana and Easton.
Hey.
Winding down from New Iberia, Louisiana. Did you ever think you'd ever come to New Iberia?
I never thought my career would take me here. it's an unreal experience.
So I am in, obviously, New Iberia, Louisiana. And if you guys have been following me, I booked a Lifetime Christmas movie. It's called Christmas in Louisiana. I'm really excited. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of long hours, but it's been incredible. I've truly enjoyed, you know, getting back to work and acting and, you know, just being on set. And so obviously we do not want to miss a Wind Down Monday. So I made sure that we were able to get Easton here to be able to record a podcast together. And, you know, he's like, where are we going? Ooh, are we going to, like, you know, Park City, Utah, or are we going to, like, Hawaii? And I'm like, no, baby, New Iberia, Louisiana. but it's actually a really cute, quaint town. And all the shops have put up Christmas decorations on Main Street. So it looks really cute.
It's crazy. The whole town transformed into this winter wonderland in 95 degree heat. It's so crazy.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's so hot. Yeah. Crazy hot, but luckily today we're inside, and I just took Easton on his first movie set, and funny thing happened. So I was holding, well, I'll let you explain it, Easton.
So yeah, Janet took me onto the set, and you know, she's such a pro. She's like, here, you go stand here. I'm going to go do my thing. And she walks out in front of the cameras, and I'm watching her through the monitors, and it looks cool because it looks like a movie, you know, like I feel like I'm already watching Lifetime, Television for Women. And,
Television for Women.
And I see Jana is in the, you know, there's like four different cameras on her. She's in the shot, and she's on her phone. And we were just hanging out backstage, I guess.
Backstage?
What do you call it?
No, we were hanging out in the holding area.
We were in the holding area hanging out. And like, we were just on our phones. And so I thought she was continuing, like while they're, because they're still setting up the shot and everything, she's on her phone, and then they call rehearsal, and she's still on her phone, and I'm like, I mean, I know Jan is like first on the call sheet here, but she's being pretty cavalier with this. So, and then they start rolling, and like it's like they call action, they do the whole clapboard thing, and Jan is like still on her phone, and I'm like, oh my god, like. Did she know they've started?
And Easton's like starts freaking out, and he's about to be like, Jana, your phone.
I was going
to
text you and say, I think they're rolling.
But, and so he got in the car and he's like, hey, so were you supposed to have your phone in that scene? Because, you know, you were on your phone. I was like, that was the whole part of the scene.
I'm understanding now. Yeah, you were like supposed to be like texting or emailing somebody.
I was supposed to be texting, and then my mom was supposed to come up, and I was supposed to, you know, be like, I'm preoccupied, mom. But it was just so funny. It's like, you know, you were saying there, you didn't know what was going on, thinking that you're probably like, man, she's like a little like not professional, like on her phone.
Was that your actual phone?
No, they give you, they don't let you have your own phone.
Okay, so it's a stunt phone.
Because it probably would distract you too much. But yeah, no, it's a set phone.
Okay, good.
Props. Well, they say props phone. That's the link. Here, the biz. Name the movie.
The Biz?
Yeah, when they say The Biz.
Oh, man.
The Breakup. Sarah, my girl Sarah would have got that.
I saw The Breakup, too. I'm very disappointed in myself.
It's so good.
It's so good.
You know what's funny, though? I kind of want to, Sarah, almost Gretzky, Instagrammed a clip from The Breakup. And it's funny because the scene that she Instagrammed, I know this scene is very famous. He's like, you know, I want you to want to do the dishes, Gary. He's like, why would I want to do the dishes? It's not about you wanting to do the dishes, Gary. It's about you wanting to help me. And so I just have always loved that scene, but it's so true.
It's so true.
And it's fascinating because it's not like we want to be doing the dishes.
No. No, you don't. You
not at all. Don't. Do you help your wife?
Yes. Yes, I do. You know, we were talking about this the other day, though. There's a, I did something for her right before I left to come to New Iberia, and she was thanking me profusely, like I had bought her a gift.
Oh.
And I saw it as like, oh, this should have just been like, oh, great, thanks. But she was acting like it was the greatest thing ever. I got her wedding dress cleaned. It's been, we haven't gotten clean since we got married 2 years ago.
Oh, that's just so thoughtful.
See, I thought in my it's been an errand I've been putting off for months in the back of my head. So like I felt like, oh man, I've been really dropping the ball. Like I should have done this a long time ago. But there's stuff like that will happen, and I think that like I don't know. I just sometimes I think like, oh, I should be helping out more, so this doesn't seem like a miraculous thing that like I did something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't notice, you know, when stuff needs to get done. I think we talked about this once before, like because Mark talks about his wife paints all the baseboards like once a year because the kids like scuff up with their shoes, and he's like, I don't even notice they need to be painted.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
It's so interesting what we see and then what, I don't know. I just always find it so fascinating. I feel like Mike and I do a pretty good job with things around the house. I know we've talked about it before, but by the way, Mike is home right now with Jolie. I decided to take Jace the entire time. I wanted to take Jolie, but I, you know, she's just got like her routine and everything. And it's just, you know, I don't want to get her out of that, but she is coming this next week. So I'm really, really excited to have her. And then Mike will be on next week's episode. So that'll be nice to have him, 'cause I haven't seen him in a few weeks being out here. But, yeah. And then I'm really excited because I have just really gotten close with my grandma on this movie. Oh. We've created such a an amazing, like, is kinship a word?
Yeah, it is.
I just feel like we connect on such a different level. And so her name is Dee Wallace, and she is the mom from E.T. I mean, if you look her up, I mean, her...
She's been in so much stuff. I looked at IMDb earlier.
It's like 180-something films and TV shows she's been in. She's just incredible, and she's got a ton of stories, especially working with Steven Spielberg, and just life and love and loss. And so I'm really excited to have her come in the trailer whenever we're, because we're actually working right now. This is in between takes. We are doing this. That's because how much I love y'all. So I'm excited to have her come in the trailer and do a little interview. But before, I want to take a quick break. I think something else too that is something I'm kind of dealing with right now is, well, two things. I have really bad mom guilt, obviously, like other moms do, but I also am struggling so bad with anxiety that I honestly think I might have to up my medicine, and I don't want to. Like, I feel it's making me sad because I don't want to, I don't know. I don't want to rely on something, but at the same time, I feel so anxious all the time now. And I don't know if that's because, and this is like, I don't mean to go, and I don't want to go dark, but at the same time, so we got to New Iberia like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and we went to Target, and I was totally fine in the car ride, and I was with Jace and the nanny. And then I just finally hired an assistant because with everything I'm doing on socials and the wind down tour, which by the way, I cannot wait to tell you guys about, but just everything else that's kind of going on. I really feel like I need some extra help. Cause I just feel a little overwhelmed. And so we're in the car and everything was fine. I was totally good. And then we go to Target and all of a sudden I just have this massive anxiety attack. And I Lauren and Kylie, they're sweet girls, but I get so embarrassed when I have anxiety attacks. So I kind of just, what I do is I just shut down, and I was just like, I had a total plan. I wanted to get Jolie Barbie dolls. I wanted to get her, like, I had a whole list. I wanted, you know, stuff because she's coming, you know, I want to make sure Jolie has all her things, and I want to surprise her with this big dollhouse. And, you know, I wanted to get Jay some food and, you know, I wanted to get some, it was like one of those super Targets.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, all right, I want to get strawberries and grapes and whatever. And I go in there and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to Amazon all of it. And they're like, what? Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to, I don't know. I just want to Amazon all of it. It's fine. And this was, we drove about 35 minutes to a Target cause it's in Lafayette. And they were like, okay, I thought you wanted to come here. I was like, I do. I now am deciding that it's just easier to just go on Amazon and I'm just going to get Barbie dolls. And they're like, okay, all right. Yeah. well, let's just get the at least the things for Jace. I'm like, mm-hmm, okay. And then I started to really dissect it. I'm like, all right, well, I've always had anxiety. I get that. But what else was it? And it was because of the shootings.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I the second I got there, I because it was because 2 days before that, I read something about how the mom and dad were protecting their baby that just died.
Oh, God.
I know. And I'm not trying to go like, but I'm just like, I grabbed Jace so tight because I'd first put him in the parking or in the cart. And then I grabbed him really fast when I got in there. And I was just like, and I started looking around and I was just, and I thought it was just my normal anxiety, but then I realized where my anxiety was coming from.
I mean, how do you not think of that now when you go to a place like that?
But it's like, you shouldn't live in fear. But at the same time now I'm like, oh my God, that is totally mm-hmm. where it came from.
100%.
Because I'm like, I'm in a city I don't know. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know these people around. And I'm like, you know, and it's honestly, it's anywhere. Even if it's, but I'm like, if they do it at a Walmart and at a church and at a movie theater, I mean, the list, I mean, it's just like goes on and on. I'm like, I don't feel safe to even go to a flipping Target.
You know, in my life, because I'm a white male. I've had a lot of privilege in my life. Like, I've never had to worry about anything. Like, and I always think like, oh, that stuff never happens to me. That'll never happen to me. My wife and I went and saw Elvis Costello the other night, and I was at the Greek Theater in LA, and I was like looking around and like clocking guys. Like, I was like, oh, that guy's acting weird. And then it's like, well, okay, if something goes down, where am I going to go? And it's just crazy that you have to think that way now. And I totally understand feeling that type of intense anxiety from doing that. And like someone like you that already struggles with anxiety, mm-hmm. like, my God, you know, like that's going to happen more.
I just felt like almost helpless. I'm like, if something happens, I mean, I was holding him where it was like, I can protect him. And if I get shot, he'll be okay. I'm like, mm-hmm. that is what's going through my head. It's so effed up.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, I know it's also good not to live in fear, but I'm like, how can we not?
Exactly.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like bring it down. I'm just really struggling with that because I'm like, I don't want to leave my house now.
I know.
Protect my children, you know. I'm like, or so that I don't die and then they don't have a mom.
It's crazy. I don't know what the answer is because you can't just stay home all day, and you don't want to have it totally affect your life like that. But also, how can you not think of that?
Yeah,
you know, it's. Because before it's like, oh, well, I, you know, that happens at a, that could happen at a bar with a disgruntled person. But like, no, now it's at Walmart, everywhere. It's happening everywhere.
I know. I didn't mean to like bring it down. I just was like, that's where it's just another layer of anxiety now where I'm just like, man, this is just, I don't know what the answer is. I don't even want to get to, I don't want to get political because I have a gun. And I would like to keep my gun. But again, I just to protect myself and my children and my family. But yeah, I mean, I think there's certain things we can do. But at the same time, I don't want to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I don't know. But I just know that I'm curious how you guys are reacting and what you guys think and how you guys feel about going to public places and what you do and how you think of it. Because I don't know what it is. Sometimes when I think about death, and I believe and I love, you know, I believe in God and I believe in heaven and I believe all those things. But when I start to really truly think about it, I go down this rabbit hole where it's just like, but my kids, are they going to be okay? And then they're not. And like, I'm like, but if I go too, I'm like, it's just like rabbit holes me. I don't know. Help me, guys. I'm asking for help. What do you guys do? What's the email, Easton? Give it to them.
winddown@iheartradio.com.
winddown@iheartradio.com. I promise I'll bring it up after this, guys. I just had to let y'all in on why. If anyone saw me in Target in Lafayette while I ran out of there, terrified. And Lafayette's a great area, too. It's a thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful city.
It was a Whole Foods right next door. Like, I'm like, but I'm like, hey, you never know.
When you perform concerts, does that go through your head?
It didn't until, so one girl, I think she was on The Voice, something, I think she got.
Oh, Christina Grimmie?
Yeah. That was terrifying.
Yeah.
And then I played Route 91 the year before the shooting.
Oh my God.
Terrifying. Because I'm like, wow. But no, there are definitely times whether I'm on stage. I mean, even here on set, I'm just like, okay, where am I going to duck? Where am I going to go? It's so disturbing that that's like where our minds have to go to. Or maybe it's just mine. I don't know. I don't think it is because did you see that outbreak at that mall where everyone started like, it was a massive like stampede because people thought there was an active shooter.
Yeah.
People are just so heightened now.
I saw a video from New York, Times Square. Yes. Someone's motorcycle backfired. Gosh. And it's like the entire country has PTSD.
Yeah.
Know, like it's.
Can I have a spot? Because I need to brighten this up.
You know, sometimes I just want to crawl under my Brooklinen sheets when this happens.
Good job, Ethan. Like the Brooklinen sheets he slept on in our bedroom.
That's right.
I've told the story before, but Mike and I, we obviously moved to Nashville, and every single one of our sheets is Brooklinen in our bed. And Easton has also slept in the bed. And how comfy was it?
So comfortable.
Well, not our bed. You slept in the guest bedroom.
I felt like I was dipping myself in lotion. That's what that felt
no,
like.
But they're so comfortable. They're beautiful, airy linen pieces that give your bedroom a chic, relaxed feel that even Easton would love. They've got 12 beautiful linen colors and patterns to choose from. So they're so amazing that they'll even give you a lifetime warranty. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code Jana at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, like I said, is so confident in their sheets and comforters and towels that they come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code Jana at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Jana. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. All right, no one really has time to go to the post office. You're busy, and who's got time for all the traffic, parking, lugging all your mail and packages? It honestly is a really big hassle. Well, that's why we use Stamps.com. So Stamps.com eliminates trips to the post office and saves you money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the post office right to your computer. You can print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere. Did you get that? Anytime. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. So right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. So you don't have to, you know, worry about that if you have a package. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Jana. That's Stamps.com. Enter Jana. I have never been more excited to welcome a guest than I am right now on our show. Don't roll your eyes at
I'm
me.
I'm rolling my eyes.
The one and only Miss Dee Wallace.
Woohoo! Da, 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 da.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
I am so excited that you said yes, first of all, that you would talk to me.
Well, I'm honored you asked.
The only thing that I'm really upset about, though, is the fact that we don't have wine with us right now. Because let me tell you guys my first stop with Dee, okay? So I've obviously been a fan of yours for a very, very, very long time. You are beautiful. You're an amazing actress. I just love you. So when I found out that you were playing my grandma, I about crapped myself. Like, I was so excited. And I just, you know, they always say to not, I get scared to meet the people that I've watched and grown up with and loved, because what if you were a complete B? You know?
Yeah, I do know. And I've been there.
Yeah. So
worked
I was just,
with him.
I know. So I'm like, okay, well, here's the thing. I'm like, okay, my favorite thing is wine. So I hope she loves wine. And then I'm thinking, oh God, what if she's an alcoholic? And I go to her door and then I give her a bottle of wine and she's like, I'm an alcoholic, you know, or just something. I'm like, then she's going to hate me the rest of the time we shoot. So anyways, Dee was in the hallway and I knew she was there, and I went up to you and I was like, hey, I know coming to New Iberia is kind of crazy. It's a very small town. I'm ordering food. So I got you some food, got you happy. But then the cherry on top was then I brought you the red wine.
OMG. You were in like Flint, baby. In like Flint.
And she basically said, will you marry me? And I was just like, from that moment on is when I knew that we were going to be best friends.
Besties.
I just love it. No, but you've just been incredible to work
but
with.
But
we really appreciate it.
We just have a heart connection.
We do.
Yeah, for sure.
And I want to talk about that because you say you do a lot of healing work, and we haven't been able to touch on it on set, so that's why I'm glad that I got to steal you away from set to talk about it. Where did that come from, and when did you know you had that innate ability to be able to not only heal but to have that feeling and to that to recognize it?
You know, we all have it. It's not some big mysterious thing. The information of the universe is out there for anybody, but you have to hold your intention to get it and ask for it and be open to it. And when I was a little girl, I would get hits. Like one time two or three in the morning, and I was around 8 or 9 years old.
Where did you grow
up again? Kansas City.
Okay.
And I was very, very close to my grandmother, who raised me for a lot of my life because we were poor and my mom had to work all the time. And I woke my mother up and I said, something's wrong at grandma's house. And God bless my mother. She got up and we went in and called grandma, and grandma didn't answer. So,
oh no.
We got in the car and we drove over there. And the cat had gotten up on the stove and turned all the gas on. And grandma was in her bedroom and just hadn't heard the telephone, but the place was filling up with gas.
Oh, my gosh.
So we all get little messages like that. You've all had those thoughts where, oh, I should call blah, blah, mm-hmm. you know. And then you either do or you don't. And then you go, gosh, darn it, I wish I'd called blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, walked by my neighbors 2 months ago. And I went, you know, I should really go see Frances. I really kind of feel a calling to go see how she's doing. She died 2 days later.
No.
So,
wow.
We all get the messages. We just don't listen. Mm-hmm. And if we listen, we kind of let them go. So now I ask for the messages intentionally. Mm-hmm. And it all started actually when my husband of 18 years passed away suddenly. And I kind of dropped to my knees and I said, I don't want to be pissed off and I don't want to be a victim. I want a way we can heal ourselves. And I really believe that's what in the good book it means by ask and you receive. Because literally within 30 seconds, I got my first message, which was use the light within yourself to heal yourself. So I've just been learning and expanding on that for 25 years now.
And you were on set when you found out about that. About your husband of 18 years?
Yeah, I was in Newfoundland shooting the... Newfoundland. No, New Zealand. Hello.
It's
Newfoundland
insane.
Was a whole other different movie. New Zealand shooting The Frighteners.
Okay.
And he had a heart attack and I flew back and they did the angioplasty. He was fine. They were holding filming. So he said, honey, I'm fine. I'm going home tomorrow. Go back. And I did. And 4 days later, he got up and a blood clot hit his heart and he was gone. And my baby found him, my little girl.
No.
Yeah, my
How old
6
was
year
she?
Old. 6.
Oh, no, I mean, oh gosh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so you know, you can imagine. Mm. So I flew back home again, put on his party service, took my kid and my nanny, and we flew back and I finished the film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
But that's really when it started opening everything up. I had one of the largest acting studios in Los Angeles at the time. And I would be watching scenes and get slammed with information. Just slammed with information. And so all my students' lives started to change. They started to book jobs, find mates that they'd been looking for forever. Mm-hmm. Then their parents wanted me to work with them and then their friends. And now I've got clients all over the world.
So what are you doing? That's what I want to lead into. Where can my listeners basically, where are you doing this? Where are you spreading? Do you hold workshops? Is it the email that you showed me?
I do hold workshops and I do speak, but I do private sessions all over the world every day. When I'm not shooting, you know, it's the dichotomy of D. I do horror films, and then I
scream queen,
and then I heal people from fear. Go figure. It works for me. But you can book a private session at iamdwallace.com and just email me through there. Incredibly powerful sessions. And you can ask the channel. I'm a clairaudient channel, which means I hear messages. Sometimes they get pictures too. Sometimes I don't call myself a medium, but a lot of times I talk to the other side too.
Wow. So I just think that's fascinating. I really do, because I believe in it. And I think there's...
You cannot deny what comes through when person after person after person go, oh my God. Because the channel say it happened at 3 years old with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? And then the tears come and it's like, oh my God, that's when my baby brother was born, or that's when so-and-so died, or, and I think I shared with you too that because I want to share this with the listeners, because I think it's so important for us to get some insight into what's running us, is that the way we see ourselves in the world and the way we see the world seeing us is all set in stone by the time we're 7 years old.
Yeah, I remember you saying that on set.
So if you really want to know what's running you and why you can't get on top of it, go back and see what was taught to you verbally, what was modeled to you. That's a big one. Or what you erroneously put together that's probably incorrect, when you were little.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love that. Can I get a private reading later? I will pay for it.
My
I will email
no,
you.
No,
I will,
no.
I will do
no,
all
no,
of
no.
it.
I keep telling you, come on over to my room, baby.
I know you do. No, it's funny because we were talking about how I feel like I get really close to things, especially with work, and then it doesn't end up. But I think it's because I'm holding myself back.
We're all holding ourselves back.
How do you break free from that, though? Because it's like, even when I want to talk about that, like, I can't, because I'll just start crying because I know I'm doing it. It's like I know what I'm doing and I can't stop it.
Yes, you can.
But how?
Well, you can't find the how if you say you can't.
Oh, there you go.
So I can find what's running me. I can heal myself. I can be my own truth. We spend most of our life saying, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way your brain's going to find out if you keep directing it not to know.
Yeah.
And what most people don't get, see, we're all energy. Everything's energy. We learned that in fifth grade, guys. And energy has to have direction. It has to. Most of us are allowing our energy to be directed by other people's thoughts, other people's comments, other people's belief systems and perceptions, including religion, whatever religion you were brought up with by the time you were 7 years old, past lives, things that are passed down to us genetically. And my channel has a really interesting take on genetics, because according to my channel, and I have never known my channel to be wrong yet of all the private sessions I've done ever, my channel says that genetics is just an idea that we've all said, okay, I'll buy into that. That runs in the family. I'll accept that. But if we truly are the directors of our own energy, which we are, because nobody else is going to choose our thoughts for us, nobody else is going to choose how we want to feel or experience things, we're all at choice about those things. And that choice is your freedom or your hell.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
No, on set, she'd go, That's always when we know, right before they say, and camera, and action. There's always that last beat. Okay, I just have to switch gears just like a little teeny weeny bit. So obviously, you had I mean, how many? You and Barry were talking about it. 183?
No, I 200? I just passed my 200th movie.
Movie. Yeah. That's incredible.
I don't know when that happened.
No, but that's incredible. I mean, out of all the films and TV shows that you've done, obviously, do you think people know you most from E.T., or is that what's usually the, you know?
I think it's a toss-up between E.T. and Cujo and the Howling.
Okay.
If I go to Disneyland, for sure it's E.T.
Yeah.
You know, I go to a horror convention, it's all Cujo and the Howling.
What's been your favorite project you've worked on?
To work on?
What's a favorite, like, of those 200, what has been your favorite?
Cujo. Hands down. I just think I went as far as I could go, as honestly as I could get there. Mm-hmm. And in a project like that, that's not easy because by the very genre, you want to overdo and overact and over-dramatize the emotion instead of always going for the truth and allowing that to then blossom in the most real way that it can. I mean, obviously, I will always be indebted to the universe for bringing me E.T. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you the number of stories that I have where that film has changed people's lives.
But you've also have nightmares of the E.T. phone home that people like me come up to you and say, E.T. phone home. No, you did not. Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
OMG. OMG, listeners. OMG.
Don't walk up to Dee Wallace and say, E.T. phone home. Okay? Take it from me. Not the right thing to do. No, I love you so much, though, because you are an open book. I mean, the second we started talking about how many marriages we've both had together, I mean, that's how I was like, this is my lady. I just, what have you learned the most out of love and your experiences with love and the relationships that you've had? Because, you know, I mean, I came in crying today in the trailer because I'm, you know, what have you learned? What's the best piece of advice that you can tell me?
I think the biggest thing that screws us up in relationships is that we continue to look for the other person to define who we are. Mm-hmm. And we continue to let their needs and their feelings and their, well, belief systems instruct us as to what's okay with us. And I think if everybody could go, okay, I'm going to become the most complete, balanced, centered me that I can be, and then I'm going to attract someone who's complete and balanced, and then in both our completeness, we don't complete each other, but we create a complete relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest challenge for all of us, especially women, because, you know, God forbid we eat an apple and the snake comes. I mean, we've been inundated, right, with the fact that we're second-class citizens since the beginning of time.
Have you seen any change in that, though?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, piecemeal, the suffragettes got us the vote, and now we've got the hashtag Me Too moment. And I think more and more and more women are claiming their right. I mean, you know, what? 30, 40 years ago, we didn't even have the right to go to college.
What?
Yeah. Most women? No. It wasn't accepted. Wasn't accepted socially. Everybody... you were supposed to get married, have the babies, clean the house, and have the dinner ready at 6 o'clock. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong or less for that life. But not to have the choice. See, when you take choice away from people.
Here she goes.
What?
You're like, see, when you, she,
yeah, well,
she's revving up.
Yeah. When you take choice away from people, you screw with consciousness. Mm. And consciousness doesn't just create itself. It's not something that's just there. You define your consciousness. You choose how conscious you want to be. And if somebody takes your choice away from you, which is everywhere in our world right now, mm-hmm. that limits you from your self-creation, and that's not okay.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you on that, for sure. Where do you want to, like, what would you want to do next? Like, what's your dream role? What's your, I mean, have you already done it? Are you kind of just loving what you're at, where you're at now? Or is there something that you haven't done yet that you want to do?
I want to play a nun that's really tormented and searching about her faith and what the truth is. I've always wanted to play that part.
That's
don't
awesome.
Ask me why I don't. It's interesting. I kind of have faith running in and out through my family pattern. This kind of sums up my family. My older brother was a Methodist minister, and he worked his way through seminary shooting pictures for Playboy. Oh. That's kind of sums up my entire family right there. Dichotomy. I have just commissioned an awesome script for my daughter, Gabrielle Stone, and myself.
Who, by the way, Gabrielle Stone, her daughter, has a book out. It's fantastic. It's called Eat, Pray, #FML. And great story about her life and relationships. It's so great. So you guys definitely go check that out as well.
Thank you for that.
Of course.
We're having a love moment.
We are. We're staring at each other.
But it's a road trip, a mother-daughter road trip, and all kinds of weird things happen. You don't really know what's going on. I'm telling her, yeah, go sleep with that guy, and I brought some Coke. You've never tried it. Have some, you know, and little by little by little, you find out that we're on a road trip to Portland for an assisted suicide because she's dying of cancer.
Oh, my heart.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful, poetic, funny, heart-wrenching script.
Oh,
and so that's my big goal. You know, we've really been focused for a few months now on springing her book and, you know, making a success out of that. She also is a director and has an option on a best-selling internet book called Spilled Milk.
Oh, awesome.
Which is a true story about a young woman who was sexually molested by her father for years and gave herself up for that to protect her other siblings. And in high school, her counselor talked her into bringing him to court, and he was convicted, and he gets out in 2 years.
What?
Yeah. And so we're really focused financing and raising money for that, both those projects now, and getting those off the ground.
Amazing. Well, I love it. And again, everyone go to imdwallace.com for an amazing read and to connect with her world, because I'm telling you, I've been blessed to have her enter mine, and I hope that she sticks around.
Oh,
because that's just the worst, though. I feel
forever.
Like it's like summer camp, and then people leave on sets. And that's what I hate the most, is because you form that friendship and that heart connection that I don't want to ever lose that. And
well, it takes an effort. It takes
it
intention.
Yes, it does.
And choice. But we've already made that, haven't we?
Oh, okay. Dee, thank you for coming on.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
My great pleasure.
Hey, Easton, do we have any emails?
Yes, we do. This one is from Katie. She says she loves the show, first of all.
Thank you, Katie.
She's 25 years old. She was with a guy for 2.5 years. They had 2 dogs. They lived together, made a lot of life changes together. But then he broke up with her about a year ago, and she was expecting they were going to live their life together. When he broke up with her, he said she was a hard person to love. And it's a phrase she replays in her head over and over and over. It's become her mantra. And she says in the year since he's broken up with her, she's made a lot of bad decisions. Her eating has changed. Her mood has changed. And she started sleeping with him on and off, kind of as a crutch. And then finally, in May of this year, she blocked him, hasn't spoken to him since. But she wants some advice on how to get out of that funk and how to ignore or how to react to that phrase. What do you do when someone says you're hard to love?
Honestly, I feel like that's not when someone says like you're a hard person to love. I would just switch it and be like, well, what's maybe there's something for them that they're a hard person. Like they they have their own.
It's projecting.
It's projecting onto her. So it's like, don't take his stuff because, so this kind of brings me to kind of what Michael and I struggle with. He'll be like, it's never good enough. And I was like, no, it is, but that's how you feel like it's not good enough because you have your own issues of not feeling good enough. So just because I'm like, I've said good job to this and this, but he's like, but then you're not happy about this. And I'm like, but I am, but you're taking it in a different, it's like, just because you have, like you feel, because you struggle with not feeling good enough, you're projecting that onto me when I haven't said anything that even doubted what just, I loved that date. That was amazing. What do you mean it wasn't good enough? Just because I said next time let's go to the movies or I would, hey, this was so much fun. Hey, maybe next date we should go to the movies. That'd be so much fun too. You know, where it's like, that's not, I was not like saying, and I get like the timing of things with that situation, but I also think it's also they're projecting their feelings on you and, you know, not to, I don't want you to go to other to blame too. I think you should look into yourself. Okay, what are the parts that I should work on? What are the parts? Like, so for me, I'm like, okay, I can be a little passive aggressive. Okay, let's work on that. You know, and so how, so I can be a little easier to love.
And the important thing, Katie, to think about is that she says here, like, because I'm hard to love, I'm never going to have a family. I'm never going to.
That's not true. That's not true. Yeah. No. And don't let that define you because you are you and, you know, someone's gonna, I mean, Lee Bryce wrote a damn song about it and it's about, you know, Sarah Bryce. And
that
it's
was
like,
the subject
hard
arena.
To love, hard to love. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's, it don't make it easy. It's just such a good song and it's fine. And I just, you know, don't let that define you and just know that, you know, you are who you are, but also work on yourself.
It's good advice.
Thanks, Easton.
Here's one. This is from Danielle.
Okay.
She loves listening to you and Mike on the podcast. Thanks. And following you on Instagram. That is, your Instagram is great. I'm a
Thanks,
big
fan.
Been a big fan for a long time.
I love Easter. And everyone loved your dancing and singing.
On your Instagram, you talk about how much you love wine. What are some of your favorites?
Ooh,
and she says that after being pregnant, her taste for what she loved changed. And she's always looking for new wines to try. So what are some of your favorites?
I'm a big Cab girl. I love red wine. So I like Camus is my favorite. Camus Special Select. And then I like Honig. Anything from Orrin Swift. I'm a huge fan of Orrin Swift. So Abstract. And then I love, I can never know if it's how it's pronounced, but I think it's called Papillon. Papillon.
French for butterfly.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. Those are probably my favorite. And then a nice like middle of the road wine. It's called Saldo. It's like about like $20. Real tasty. And then this wine called, it's a blend, Red Schooner from the brother of Camus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. If you want to sip like Jana, just
and if
down.
You want to drink some wine and wine down, we are coming to Michigan, Chicago, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Chicago. I think I already said that. And we are coming Louisville. So we're going on tour. It's like a comedy session meets a therapy session meets me singing music. So you just go to JanaKramer.com and get tickets and we'll wind down and drink all this wine together. So let's read one more email. But before that, I want to talk to you about clutter. So what if there is a way to store your valuables without breaking your back or your bank account? Well, now there is Meet Clutter, the world's largest on-demand storage provider. So there's no guesswork and no wasted space. Clutter helps you find out just how much storage you need. It's zero effort. Just schedule a pickup and Clutter will be there to pack and move your belongings to store in their secure facility. The best part is Clutter matches guaranteed prices, which means you get the lowest possible monthly storage rate. Clutter's online photo inventory means you never forget what's in storage. So schedule a delivery date online and Clutter will get it to you in 48 hours or less. You don't pay more for packing or delivery. It's all included in Clutter's low monthly rate. Again, it's been great for us, especially with our move. So Clutter has a great sign-up bonus for our listeners. Get $50 off your first month when you sign up at clutter.com/Jana. And for existing storage users, switch to Clutter for 30% off of your first monthly storage bill. That's on top of Clutter's no-hassle moving online inventory management, free pickup and delivery, and price match guarantee. See why Clutter is better and get $50 off your first month at clutter.com/Jana. That's clutter.com/Jana. Enter promo code Jana at checkout.
So here's one last email before we wrap this bad boy up.
Let's do it.
This is from Brittany.
Brittany.
She would like Mike to be included on this, but maybe, you know. Maybe,
sorry, Brett.
Maybe it's better without him. Ooh. For you to talk about this. She wants you to talk about your recent triggers and how you're overcoming them.
Woof.
Yeah. This is too heavy of one to end the show on, but.
Oh, Easton, I wanted to end on a good note. We talked about heavy stuff today. Look, triggers are hard. Triggers are tough. We're going through right now. We're in a season where it's been really tough. But how do I deal with my triggers?
Yes. How are you overcoming them?
I think the healthiest way to deal with triggers is to talk about them. What I've learned in the past is that I used to shove things down and not talk about it. And then it would come out so sideways. So I would be like upset at him about a lampshade. But really, I'm talking about the trigger that I felt 2 weeks ago that he had no idea about. So I think it's staying ahead of it and being like, hey, I'm triggered right now. And I feel sad and I feel lonely. And what the other person needs to do is meet you with empathy and grace and say, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. What can I do for you? And just that's been the best thing for us because we've been able to really do that. But it's the days where we don't and we let the trigger swallow and it's bad because it does not come out in a beautiful light. So just try and stay ahead of it and be honest and be vulnerable. I know that's hard because I get it wrong all the time, but I think that's the best thing that you can do in a relationship when you have triggers come up.
Oh yeah. And it's hard to, I think it's hard to think about that stuff when you're in it.
Totally. You know,
so it's so important to remember these words for when you're experiencing that, because that's a good way to get out of it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, this has been fun. Hope you guys have had fun on set in my trailer in New Iberia, Louisiana. I'll talk to you next week. Meow, 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 meow.